Again, I really, really want to welcome you to the final call of this series, the final presentation of this series, More Clients for Me. In this series, what I've tried to do is to teach you that you can market and attract clients by using your authentic voice, by tapping into what's really important to you, what you love, your message, and finding the people that want to hear that message, and then creating the marketing plan and then going into action in order to attract them. So I hope that's what you've gotten out of these last four calls, or the last three calls. And then today what we're going to talk about are a couple of things. One thing I'm going to do is a couple of brief case studies, not full-on case studies like we did with Kylie, but just some suggestions. And then I'm going to also talk about what I call the Private Practice Plus model. And this is for those of you that are interested in doing more than seeing clients one-on-one in your office. So there's lots of opportunities and options for you there, and we'll be talking more about that today. So, yay, welcome, welcome. All right. Before we get started, though, I did want to do two things. One is I wanted to take a question, and this came on the chat right when we were getting started. And that was from Patricia, and she said, can you speak more about moving your message to a place where people will want to pay for it? And, yes, that I'd love to talk more about that. And, honestly, it goes back to question number three, and that is when you're talking about your message, you've created the ideal client profile. You've created who it is you would like to see, and then you ask them. You create a fictitious ideal client, right? And then you ask them, would you pay me if I said I did this or I helped with this? And you put in your words there. And you have this gestalt kind of conversation because they're a fictitious ideal client. And what this does is it's tapping into your intuition, into what's going on with you and in your brain and in your heart. And if your fictitious ideal client says, no, I wouldn't pay for that, then you know that your words aren't, or your languaging isn't yet at a place where they are willing to do that. The other way you can do that is to test it out in the real world. And this is to go to, say, a networking meeting or a place where there are people that really don't know you. And when people are asking, what do you do for a living? What do you do for a living? You can say, I'm a special kind of either coach or counselor. And then let the joy out. I have the most fabulous job. I get to work with fabulous people who are struggling with yada, yada. And, you know, after working with me, I am just so excited because they see result, result, result. And the best part is biggest result. When you talk like that in a joyful way, in just letting the joy out, and really, I get cheerful when I think about this because it's really tapping into your wisdom and what's so important to you. And when you let that out and you don't worry quite so much about the languaging, that is going to be what is attractive to people these days. Let me get on my soapbox for a minute right now. There's a huge trend in internet marketing that I think is getting ready to crest. Remember when we had all those dot-com bubble bursts a bunch of years ago? I think that is what the same thing that's going to happen with internet marketing. And I don't mean the kind that you and I are talking about in terms of the alignment, the joy field. I think that putting that on a website or in an article or in a video online is going to attract people. But I think that what the bottom is going to fall out is these icky promotions, X number of seats left, and talking about it in ways that aren't inauthentic. That is not going to work. So when somebody asks you what you do for a living and you're trying to get that message across, let it out with the joy. And it's the joy that they are going to be attracted to. And I think all this hype that you're seeing in many internet marketing things, you're sick of it, I'm sick of it, and I think potential clients are going to be sick of it. So, Patricia, in order to get your message to a place where people are going to want to buy it, if you're concerned that they won't, go back through the four filtering questions. Question number one, what does success mean to you? Question number two, who are you and what is your message? Question number three is, who needs to hear it and how do they describe the problem and would they pay for it? And if they won't pay for it, then you go back and relanguage it a little bit. That said, I really mean this. Don't spend so much time on the languaging that you lose the joy. All right. So I really want to welcome all of you that are joining us here on the webcast, and those of you that are watching via replay later, watching via video, and those of you that are on the phone with me. I'm just so happy to have all of you here. And I know we've got lots of different countries represented here, and you guys help me do this work. It means so much to me. All right, losing my voice just a little, so I'm going to grab my cup. Got a smaller cup today. Okay, so let's look at, again, if there's any questions, if you could put them in the chat, or if you're on the phone and you want to press star 2, I'm happy to take some questions today. Now, we talked about Kylie in one of our earlier calls, and Kylie was a Christian counselor and had kind of forgotten that that was important to her until she did the four filtering questions. So today I want you to imagine that your population or the people that your message is that you can live in a great step family and step families can thrive. So if you think about that, where would you want to market? Well, in terms of internet marketing, you certainly could create a website targeting the step families and talk about your experience in the step family or what you know and what you believe and kind of the pain that they're going through. You can certainly do that. You could have a pink spoon on your website. That could be something related to how to get through the holidays with step families or how to get through any kind of big day, graduation, birthdays, those kind of things. You could do that. You could do that in a little video. You could create articles and put those on eZine, E-Z-I-N-E, articles.com, which is an online article database. You could also go out and ask question number 4, which is where do they hang out together? And there are step family conventions you could go to. Maybe you could be a presenter and do a speaking engagement and offer a free consultation at their conference. Or maybe they have a newsletter that you could then ask if you could be the columnist for their newsletter. So those are combinations of internet and community marketing. In terms of public relations, if you're working with step families, you could sign up for Harrow, help a reporter out, and put step families as one of your, what do you call it, specialties, and answer articles or requests from reporters talking about step families. You could create webinars if you wanted to do that, if you felt that was a good idea. So do you see where all of these ideas are dependent on who it is you're marketing to? Now, in the last time I ran More Clients for Me, about 7-8 months ago, we had a case study for a guy, Eric, who was working with anger management. Now, what we found when Eric went through the 4 filtering questions was that Eric's guys did not see themselves as angry, but they felt other people saw them as angry. So that languaging became very important in his website copy. And if he did a speaking engagement, he didn't think that the angry men would probably come to the speaking engagement. So he said, do you know somebody who has a problem with anger and would do speaking engagements there? So this is why, you know, back to Patricia's question, you know, how can you language it so that people, or how can you take your message to a place where people will want to pay for it? Again, 2 parts to that. Your joy is one part. And then the other part is really developing the marketing plan where you could focus it using the best use of your time and energy. Okay, we have another question, a couple more questions coming up. First, I wanted to remind you that we are going to be, we still have the CE, if you're looking for continuing education units, and if you are looking for transcripts of this 4-part series, you can get them for very low fee, $47, at moreclients.com/moreclients, I N as in Nancy, T as in Tom, LI.com/moreclients. Those are going to be up there for about 12 more days. So if you're wanting to get them, go ahead and get them now because they're not going to be offered after that. We're going to be taking them down. We may put them back up another time, but the idea is that they'll just be available for the next 12 days. So again, I, N as in Nancy, T as in Tom, li.com/moreclients. Okay. Now, Beth has a question. She says, do we need to have a specialty in order to be successful? We kind of talked about this, Beth, and you might want to go back and review question or video number one. And there are years ago when I said that we indeed did have to have a specialty in order to be successful. Where that came from in the beginning was when internet marketing was just starting. And if you had a specialty and there were so few people on the, there's so few people on the internet that if you had a specialty, you stood out quite a bit. Now, it's not a bad idea to have a specialty. I think that's a good idea. But I think it's more important to be talking about the client's pain from their perspective and to be letting the joy out, loving them into your practice, and showing them that you really get what it is that they are struggling with. Now, if you can do that with a specialty, not a bad thing, not a bad thing. But a specialty related to a person or a problem, not related to a type of therapy. All right, good. So we are live right now, yes. Patricia says, I've been stopping by offices to build relationships and leave business cards, but most people work from home these days. Tried emailing, but few responses on that. Well, I think that I wouldn't leave business cards to start a relationship. If you're wanting to start a relationship, I would go in and I would try to speak to the, first of all, I would make a list of somewhere between 20 and 90 people that you would like to connect with. People that it would make sense that would be good referral partners from you. And then what I would do is I would figure out what is the best way to connect with them. And then I would do that in a way that says, here's who I am. I'm looking for a good whatever they are to put in my Rolodex for my clients. And I'm wondering if it might make sense for us to connect. I'd like to get to know more about you and your business. And if you're looking for more, and use the word they would use, clients, patients, customers. All right? So if you do that, you're going to have a much better chance of building relationships. Walking in to an office and then leaving business cards, I'm not sure is the best way. So make a list of who you think would be good. Now, if you find somebody in your building would be good, then I would go in and try to connect with the office manager and talk with the office manager and say, you know, I'm looking for a good, whatever this office is, pediatrician, dentist, whatever it is, to refer my clients to. And are you guys looking for more patients? Can we just spend 10 minutes and you can tell me about your practice. All right? So just an idea for you in terms of networking. So some people are asking about the recordings. You can have these recordings for up to a year of the More Clients for Me audio and video recordings. Those will absolutely be available to you for at least a year. What I was talking about before was if you want to purchase transcripts and 4 continuing education units. That's what we're selling for $47. But this class was free. I did it because I want to get this information out, and I want to get out to as many people as possible. All right? Okay. So let's see. Do we have any other questions? Looks like, Amber, did you see any other questions that I missed? Okay, Amber. Okay, Amber, I thought you were on the phone with me.
I am. Sorry, I was muted and talking to you.
Okay.
No. No, we are good to continue on.
Okay, great. Thanks. All right. So if we were to look at, say, another mini example of somebody marketing a private practice, let's say you were working with women who are going to get married for the second or third time. What were they afraid of? Being able to talk about that. Where are you going to find them? You're probably going to find them, I'm guessing, at churches. That's probably going to be where I would start with that. If you were working with, let's pick another specialty, teenagers. If you're working with teenagers, who's the one that's going to call for the appointment? Probably the parent. So most likely the mother. So where is the mother likely to be? Who is she going to be talking to? Well, she might be talking to pediatricians, scout leaders, coaches. Would she be on the internet? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know the answer to that. You'd have to think about that. That's where your ideal client profile becomes important. So I hope you guys can kind of get the idea of how you use the marketing, your four filtering questions, how that leads you to creating the marketing activity. And then last time in the last video, and I really want to reiterate this because I'm going out on a limb here, and I'm giving you all of this content, all of this information, because I want you to have it. It is just so important. And that said, it looks like I didn't take the ticker off the thing. Amber, can you do that, or do you want me to do that?
Nope, I'm actually in there right now working on it.
Okay, thanks. Sorry about that, guys. I left a little ticker on there that says I'll be there in a few minutes. Okay. I have no idea where I was. If any of you specialize in nearly 59-year-old women with short-term memory problems, just let me know. I'm going out here and giving you all this information, and here's what I'm afraid of. And what I'm afraid of is that people aren't going to do anything with it. And if you don't do anything with it, then this has been a waste of your time and also a waste of my time. And also, all of those clients that are circling around your head aren't going to find you. So this is where you so seriously want to be with what it is that you really want. And that's why I started question number one with what does success mean to you? And I want to thank all of you on the chat who are encouraging me for it being okay that I forget my place. Love Coach Diane says, don't worry, you'll catch up with yourself. Thank you. Action is so important. This is what I said to you guys last time. Inertia is your biggest enemy. And private practice isn't for everybody. It's not easy. It's simple if you just follow the fill in the blanks like I've told you to in these four calls. It's very simple. If you don't overthink it, if you don't overthink it or underdo it. Ooh, I like that. If you don't overthink it or underdo it, it's simple. So it's up to you. Where are you going to go? So if you were to write yourself a letter and date it a year from now, what would you be saying? Dear, fill in your name here. I am so proud of you for taking the information that you learned about building a private practice and implementing it. You went down those four filtering questions, and even though some of them felt uncomfortable and you didn't feel like you were doing it right, air quotes right, you still took the time and you did it and you filled them out, and then you came up with some languaging that you were able to put on a very quick and dirty website to just get it up. Very simple content on a website that talked about the client's pain and your hope for them, and you can't wait to see them in your office and you're looking forward to serving them. You were able to put together a speaking engagement that wasn't a real speaking engagement. It was facilitating a group discussion where you just asked a few questions. Why is it hard to fill in your talk title here? What does not work? Fill in your talk title here. What does work? You do a presentation with that as your format. You have the feedback form. You do the free consultation, and you got clients into your practice. And just imagine telling yourself how happy you would be if you went and you applied it. So I've got some of you in the chat promising me that that is what you're going to do. And it touches me. It really, really does, because this is what I live for, is for your success. And when you're successful, the professions of helping, whether that's coaching or therapy, become more successful. Our culture sees us as more responsible and more able to be flexible in our delivery, and we become known for what we do, and the world is a better place. And you save people one person at a time. So my job is to serve you, and thank you. Thank you for being there for me. And by the way, if you want to do something for me, if you could just share this with a couple of your friends, that would be so awesome. I'm, again, on this mission to get this out to as many people as I can. So bless you, bless you, bless you. Okay, so some people are saying I'm really taking my time to think through the questions and formulate honest answers. Great idea, Joe said that. Great idea, Joe. just make sure that we don't overthink it, all right? I had somebody come back 6 months later and say, I'm still working on those questions, all right? So we want to keep going, keep going, keep going. Okay. Yeah, let the love out. Some of you are saying that's important, and that is. So now we're going to switch gears slightly, and we're going to be talking about what I call the private practice plus model, private practice. It's hard to say. Private practice plus model. Okay. Or P cubed, maybe we'll call it. Thank you. All right. Here's the thing, and I'm going to talk to therapists now because coaches, I think, are a little bit ahead of the therapists in this game, but I think it's still a problem for some coaches too. And that is what we call the one-to-one model. We have outgrown the one-to-one model. Our culture is way more sophisticated. They are anxiously asking us to be more flexible in the way that we deliver services. They want it on their time frame when they want it. They want more flexibility in terms of the medium. How are we going to get that services to them? Are we going to get it to them in a telephone call, in an in-office visit, in a self-study course, in a webinar? In an audio. In fact, here's a, I shouldn't tell you guys this, but there's this cool program called MySpeed. You can go to myspeed.com and it's $20 maybe. I don't know how much it is. And it is, I shouldn't tell you this. It is a program that will allow you to watch videos speeded up. So if you're somebody like me who watches a lot of training videos and some people talk really slow, you can use it to speed them up. That said, if you speed up mine, I'd rather you watch them at regular speed. I share this with you. Now, with the Private Practice Plus model, the idea is that you want to add more flexible services, products, to your private practice so that you can reach more people, leverage your time and energy, and increase your income. So what am I talking about? Good example, adding information products and services. Right? So maybe you want to create your own self-study course. So let's think about how you could do that. You could decide that you're going to teach a class, be it over the phone with instant teleseminar, over live stream like we're doing here, over a webinar. You can do that, and record them, and then you could then take and write a maybe short workbook to go with that. So you can offer the course first as a teleseminar, webinar, live stream. You can then take the audios from those, create MP3 or CDs. You could take the video part, create videos. You could put a workbook with it, and now you have made money from creating the course in the first place or built a list if you're doing it as a free teaspoon. And then you can later sell the product that you created it. All right? So created with it, excuse me. Do you see how that works? Let's say you wanted to, so that's one option of a private practice plus model. Another example is you could leverage your time by offering retreats or VIP days. And this is where you could bring people together for 3 or 6 hours, and you could do them in a group or you could do them individual. And you could charge more money because there's a perception that it's worth more because it's an intensive. Right? So if you're a coach, you could be doing that you could be doing a retreat, or a therapist, you could be doing a retreat or a VIP day. We've started doing this or talking about doing this with some of my coaches who do weight loss. And they're going to get people together for 4 hours. They're going to do some in-office work, or they're going to do even some exercise like walking through the park. They're going to have a meal and do some nutritional stuff. So, and then you can charge more than your hourly rate for this because, again, it's perceived as greater value. Mm-hmm. So you can do that. You can then follow that up with maybe a stick-to-it program where they would see you for X number of sessions in a group or individual. So that's an example of another type of service that you could offer to increase your revenue. Now you can do those individually and make them sort of high-end, or you can do them in a group. Right. So do you see the way this is going? You're taking something, content that you create, as we talked about in doing the webinar, teleseminar, or live stream, and then using that in multiple ways, either to build a bigger list or to create a self-study course. You can do a retreat in either a group or individual way and charge more for it because of more perceived value. And then you're giving people something that was really valuable for them, as well as making more money yourself, okay? So that's another example. Just a note back on the my speed, you can also slow it down to less than normal speed if you want to. So for those of you who are saying I'm talking too fast, you can actually slow me down. Here's some other examples of some therapy business models or coaching business models. You can run the training model, and this is where you bring in, let's say you're a therapist, you bring in new therapists, either interns or associates or assistants, that aren't yet licensed and work in your organization where you are primarily the marketing person for them, and you're bringing in clients for them. And now, since you've learned how to do online marketing and community marketing, and you know how to either use pay-per-click or you know how to do a speaking engagement and get a handful of clients in, you can bring them into your center and then have them see the newly licensed people, and then you provide appropriate supervision for them. That can actually be an extraordinarily rewarding model for those who feel called to it for a couple of reasons. One is because you're now teaching, so you're having a hand in the future and making the future wonderful. And on the flip side of that, you can make a lot of money because you are taking a portion of whatever the people are charging, and they're giving a portion of that to you. So we call that the training model. That's an example of a model. Another is what we call the satellite practice model, and that's where you could have multiple offices in multiple places and have therapists or, again, translate for coaches, you could have therapists or coaches working for you in different offices. So let's say you're a therapist and you're wanting to do in-office practice, then you could bring in a bunch of therapists, now this is key, who don't like to market, bring them in, and then you do the marketing to get the people in. They love it. They charge a little bit lower fee, give you a percentage of that or a certain dollar amount, and then you can make money from that. And those are some very lucrative models, again, if you like doing that kind of work. Now, some of you coaches, one of the things you can do is if you can systematize your work, then you can create curriculum from that. And one of the ways to create curriculum is to teach a class. So run a class, create curriculum from that, and then you now have a curriculum that you can teach new coaches coming in to work for you. And again, you can charge for them and they pay you a certain percentage, or actually you pay them. You charge the client and then you pay the coaches a certain percentage. So you can also take that curriculum if you want and license it. And people can buy a year long or however you want to do it, license. And then that gives you the opportunity to make more money on your license fees. And you can license it, say, only for a year. So if you don't like the way somebody is handling your content, you can take that and not renew their license. So those are some ideas. Now, we've got more. There's a couple questions coming in. What about a blog? Now, if you're asking, is a blog a business model that you can use to leverage and make money off of, I don't really think that that's the best move for a therapist or a coach, okay? A blog, the way I look at a blog, as a rule, there are some exceptions, but the way that I look at a blog is as an online newsletter where you're distributing content, All right. So that's kind of the way that I think about that. Again, curriculum, you know, how do you make curriculum? You decide, and again, you can say, okay, I have a process. Like, let's say you are a parenting therapist or coach, and you have a 10-step process, or that's too many, like 3 to 5-step process that can help parents to have children that behave. And so you say, I have a 3-step process. I was listening to one from Harville Hendricks the other day who said, you MDE, so you mirror, validate, and empathize. And those were his 3 steps to get your child to listen to you. And so you could say, I have a 3-step process, and you can create that, and then you can go into each one of those more steps on it, and that becomes your curriculum, and that becomes your process that then you, if you're going into this model, that you then teach others to use for you. Now, let me back up in just a second. Remember what we're talking about here. We're talking about people who would like to add products and services, an additional business model to their existing model of private practice. All right? That's what we're talking about here. So it's if you want to just see people one-on-one in your office, totally fine. Right? I think that the culture is calling for more. And so I'm giving you some options in ways that you can make more money, reach more people, leverage your time and energy, should you want to do that. Okay, should you want to do that. Now, get some other ideas here. One of the things you could do is you could become you could have an online business. And you could, with your online business, sell products and services as well as, say, in the community where you're speaking. You could do like what I'm doing. You could become an online therapist. Now, I will tell you that I think that online therapy, and I'm talking about text-based therapy, chat, email, instant message, whatever else those other parts to that are, I think are huge now, and they're only going to be getting bigger because, as you know, so many kids like texting, and people are used to that, and we're used to one-line communication. And I know that there are some therapists that work with teens where the therapist is talking to them, and the teen is texting the therapist. So there's a lot to be said for that kind of model. Now, you can do that in a one-to-one model, or you can still do it one-to-one, but flex the service delivery. Let me talk about that, what I mean by that. For some time now, in the therapist community, we've had the therapy hour. And in the coaching community, often it's the coaching half hour. Where did that come from? Thomas Leonard says one of his biggest regrets is that he said the session should be 30 minutes for coaching. If you think about it for a second, we've all been there where in 10 minutes there was a breakthrough from the client. And then you both are kind of sitting back going, now what? We have all these extra minutes. What if you had a business model that wasn't based on time? That perhaps was based on email exchanges. So I will sell a package, say, for 5 email exchanges. And the person writes me, and I write them back. That's 1 exchange. And then we do 5 of those, and then that's the package. What if we did that? I will tell you that yesterday I had a call with one of my coaches, Elise, and she said some things that were just really brilliant. And I asked her, so put that in an email, if she would be willing to put that in an email and send it to me, which she did. And the beauty about that is I can read that email again and again and again and again and be reminded of that point that felt so precious to me and so important to me. So very, very cool. Also with that is the idea of the flexibility in length of time. So for those of you that do phone sessions or in-office sessions, what is so magical about that time frame? What is so magical about that hour, that half hour, if you think about it? What if you could give me a 15-minute session or a 10-minute session right when I need it? Can you imagine how powerful that would be? That's what people are going to be asking for. Let's say my husband just called me and said he's bringing his boss home for dinner, and I'm like kind of freaking out about it because his boss scares me and I, you know, the house is a mess, and I want to just talk to a therapist for 10 minutes. Can you imagine how valuable that would be? I can't drop and go over to a therapist's office right then. Or let's say you're working with couples and they're in the middle of a fight and you want to do something and you had a 5 minutes with each of them and then they could go back. Imagine how healing that is. All of this is possible, and it's all in your head, all right? It's all in your head about what you could make it, okay? If you're wanting to know more about online therapy and how people charge for it, I recommend that you go to visit OnlineTherapyInstitute.com, OnlineTherapyInstitute.com, and they can give you, you can find lots of stuff out there. And then the question is, would you be on a monthly retainer fee in those cases? You can do it a couple of ways. Excuse me. You could be, okay, again, if you're going to do this, make sure that if you're going to take on any retainer clients, make sure that you test it on one or two clients first. I made the mistake a long time ago of selling 14 people unlimited access to me, because I thought, well, it'd be like the gym, you know, like if all people who went to the gym showed up on the same day, the gym would have to close. That doesn't happen, so some will come and some won't. And I kind of had a feeling that if I sold 14, that I would have a lot of time left over, is what I thought. Well, it turned out that 7 people booked an hour with me every single day, and then the other 7 never could get in. So it was just a nightmare. So if you're going to do any retainer clients like that on the unlimited access or set boundaries, try it with one person first. That will help you decide how to price it. That will help you figure out what boundaries to put around it. All right. But yes, I am recommending, excuse me, you could do that in two ways. You could be on a retainer and then pull off time as they used it. And again, you're charging a lot for this on the retainer. Or, because I will tell you, I'm on retainer with one of my coaches. And the retainer is, it's X amount of dollars per month. It's not inexpensive. It's got 4 numbers in it. And I can access her as needed. So if I want to email with her, if I want to get a call with her, and she has no boundary. Like, I would, if I were setting up a retainer, I would say something like this. You can have 15 minutes within a 24-hour period. All right. So, you know, I will get back to you. Or within, I would probably do within a 4-hour period. So you want enough holes in your calendar to be able to have 15 minutes in there. Mm-hmm. So you could do that. That's one way. The other way you could do it is you could just charge a lot of money for those things. So if you normally charge, say, $150 a session, you could say I charge $75 or $80 for a 15-minute session. And I'm telling you, there are times when I would be so happy to pay that. You know, $80 sounds like nothing if I can talk with you before my husband comes home and I'm going to pick a fight with him. All right? So just some ideas that you can do that. All right? Okay. So that is my ideas on some of your private practice plus models. For those of you that want to go further in terms of different models, you could become a coach if you're a therapist. You can move into coaching. Understand the legal and ethical ramifications in your state and for your license should you decide to do that. You can become a speaker seminar leader and go around the country and lead seminars, hook up with a CEU company that will help you give CEUs if you want to do that, and then we'll help you go around the country and do that. I'm looking at my notes here. You could become a nonprofit leader if you decided you wanted to do that, if you felt calling, if you felt a calling in your heart to do some kind of nonprofit, that might be another model for you. So I guess what I'm asking you to think is, where can I be more flexible in my service delivery? Where can I think of ideas where I could reach more people, spend my time and energy in a way that was leveraged, and then how could I increase my income? All right? So those are just all kinds of ideas that you can think of, that I can think of, and that I want you guys to think of too. There's more here that I've got on my notes. You could become an author if you wanted to do that and become self-publish a book, and then that self-published book, you could go and become a speaker on tour and then do seminars and things like that. So I'm loving this. I'm having a ball here. And what I see is the private practice of the future. I'm getting ready to do a talk on this at a presentation, so that's why it's kind of in my brain. I see the private practice of the future as not your supervisor's private practice. And this is going to be the challenge for you, because you're going to have to develop your own model. You're going to have to try some stuff and see how it works for you. You know, we have Mark Howard from 3principlesinstitute.org, who, if you're coming to the More Clients for Me event in November of 2012, you'll see him. He'll be a speaker there. And he's one of our Ruby clients, and he felt called, to share. He felt called to share these spiritual principles. And so he created, well, he was going around teaching them, and he was teaching them in hospitals. And he said, I really feel called to teach them. And he started teaching at Santa Clara County, and he said, I really feel called to teach them in other places and in other ways. And I said, why don't you come up with an institute? And he said, well, how do you do that? It's like, well, you decide. You know, there's no institute police. You just come up with an institute, buy the domain name, put up a website, and start building your mission and doing your activities from your institute. Right. And then he did. Okay. So you could come up with a membership site, right, where people pay a recurring amount of money each month, and you give them some type of service or content. All kinds of ideas for you. Now, if you're going to do a membership site, talk with me about that before you do it. There's a lot of counter-transference I have around that, having done a few of them. So just to make sure that that you know the possible cons of doing that, C-O-N-S, cons. All right. So if you have questions and you want to put them in the chat, I'm happy to take them. And if you have a question on the phone line, you want to press star 2, go ahead and do that. Okay. My idea here with this call today is just to get you thinking. And some of you are saying, well, I'm going to take my hourly rate, and if I offer a phone session for a shorter period of time, I'm going to prorate that. And I'm recommending you prorate it. You don't think like that. You say, what is a 15-minute session with me worth to the client? What is it worth to me in order to do a 15 or a 20-minute call? And then set the fee that way, rather than saying my hourly rate is $150, so 15 minutes is $40-some dollars. Okay? Please don't do that. All right? So I want you – that's the cool thing about retreats and about the smaller sessions, is that you don't have to do that with the prorating thing. All right? So with a membership site, again, hold on, excuse me. A membership site, again, is where you offer recurring content for a certain dollar amount per month. And there's something that's real important to consider here, and that's how much time do you want to invest on a monthly basis in your membership site? That's question number one. Then question number two is your membership site going to be host-driven, H-O-S-T, host-driven, or community-driven? I made the mistake of developing host-driven membership sites. And what that meant is I couldn't take a vacation. If I wasn't there, nothing happened. All right. So that was real important. I'm so sorry. I'm just so sorry. I've been getting over this cold. So you want the people in the membership site to be connecting with one another, and you want to step that up so that that happens, and that's the important part. You also want to figure out how much time do you want to be available to it in terms of, are you going to do live content, or are you going to do what I call drip content, which means, are you going to send stuff? So there's times when now in my current membership sites where I have it set up that I could do it live, or I could create a video that then somebody plays for me at the time that it's supposed to air live. All right. So those are just some ideas on membership sites. When I started my membership site, I started it for way too little, and then I was getting, 10 calls a month or something like this, and it was just way too much content for the people, and it was way too much content for me. So that was really important. Let's see. Other people are asking about affiliate programs. An affiliate program is where you, there's two ways to do it, but it's where you sell to your people that follow you, somebody else's program, and you get a percentage of that. Or you're selling a product and you ask people to sell for you, and they will, based on them getting a percentage of the product. If there's somebody's product that you really believe in and that you strongly believe will really help your people, then, and you want to be an affiliate for that, I'm fine with that. As a way of getting a lot of money, let's see. I could get 10 to 30% of somebody else's product, or I could get 100% of my own. All right. I think selling your own is much better. Now, if you have your own products and things and you want to ask somebody else to sell for you, you want to make sure that you build that relationship with them. And are they the right people to sell for you? And then that should build your list and increase your income. I don't look at that I don't look at that as part of the Private Practice Plus business model. It is a way to earn some income. How much? Not sure. It depends on your list and who you're connecting with. But it was a good question. Very good question. And people are asking, what kind of content can be offered if you're doing a membership site? Okay, now this is kind of an interesting question, because if you did the four filtering questions, right, and you're offering a membership site to a particular group, let's say you're called to help people who are struggling to lose weight, and that's your calling and that's your message. And so when you look at the various business models, the membership site seems like one that you could offer. Weight Watchers is a really good example of a membership site, Weight Watchers Online. Mm-hmm. And so what do they offer? They offer recipes. I don't know that you would want to do that, but you could offer coaching or therapy calls, however your license will allow you to. You could offer reports. You could offer checklists. You could offer videos. You could offer audios. All of those things work. But again, a membership site is not necessarily a good idea. Just like we did the four filtering questions for who are you, what success mean to you. See, that's still part of picking your business model. What does success mean to you? It's very important in picking your business model. Who are you? What is your message? Who needs to hear that message, and do they know they need it? And if not, how can you revise your message so that somebody would want to pay for it? And then where do they hang out together? The answer to those questions would be, is there a place online that they hang out together that you could create a membership site, and would that make sense? So all of the business models that I've been talking about are ideas for you. I am not suggesting that you pull out of the air one of those business models and decide to create it. In fact, I am begging you not to do that. That would be a bigger mistake than just your marketing activities that you pull out of the air. You want to thoughtfully figure out, what is the business model that I want to do? What makes sense with my lifestyle, with how I work, with how I want to connect with people? That will then give you the opportunity to sit with all that and then say, what makes sense? All right, because there's pros and cons of everything. All right, and back to when we were talking about not prorating, look, Coach Diane says that she likes what I said about it because you need to consider what it actually costs you. And this is something that I didn't say, but I'm glad you brought it up. And that is, if you're talking for 15 minutes, you still have to get to the phone, use the restroom before the phone, get the headset on, call them, take a couple of notes. There's time. It's not just 15 minutes, hello, and then hanging up. Right? So same with when you're looking at doing your emailing, if you're going to do email exchanges or instant messaging, if you want to do that. All of these kinds of things take thoughtful consideration as, is this the right business model for me? So in addition to the four filtering questions, what you want to ask yourself is, what makes sense for me in terms of, I want to extend my reach, increase my income, and leverage my time and energy? What makes sense for me? All right. So, any other questions we have? If you're on the phone and you have a question, please press star 2 so we can get your question. And if you're on the phone, if you're on the chat, feel free to put it in the window there. And I'm going to take a question here from somebody in New York City in just a quick sec. I do want to say, though, again, remember, you can watch these videos as long as you want to for at least a year. We've got all that there for you. You can listen to the audios. All that is there free for you. I ask that you pay it forward. That is my request, that you tell somebody else about it so that we can please, please, please connect with other people. That said, if you want to buy the transcripts and get 4 continuing education units, you can go to ilicliants.com/more-clients. All right? And some of you are asking about the speaking. We have an entire class on speaking that we offer. It's 4 webinars. I'm also probably going to be redoing it again in a couple of months, but we have that. We will put it in the notes. Amber, can you make a note that we'll put that the speaking class link in the notes, that if people want to purchase that, they can?
You bet.
Okay, thanks. All right, I'm going to take a couple questions here from the phone. Okay, I have somebody from New York.
Yeah, Casey, I had a question. You were talking a lot about making sure the specialty that it was focused in on is really especially to do with the clients, not to do with the practice modality. I practice as a pastoral counselor, so the inclusion of spirituality is really both part of the scene as part of the therapy, but it's also really what the clients look for.
Exactly.
So where would you go from that?
Well, I don't know that they're looking for pastoral counseling. They have some kind of issue that they're looking for. Pastoral counseling is the solution. Right?
Right. They're looking to have their spirituality included in what they go through, not just be focusing on the psychological.
Yeah, but I would go with what they're – okay, so what is the problem that your ideal client would call you with, for example?
There would be a spectrum of things that I'd look at there, but it really – the way that distinguishes why they come to me rather than someone else is the fact that they feel, I suppose, safer, that their spirituality has a protection there and will be used as a positive resource in what they're moving forward with in their life.
Again, I'm going to beg you. Okay, so does your ideal client wake up at 3 a.m. and go, I need a pastoral counselor, or do they say, I got to talk to somebody?
I think they're saying, I got to talk to somebody, but I want to make sure it doesn't cause problems with my faith.
Okay, so that is their number one concern.
Yes.
Okay, then I think you can say, are you struggling, again, I can imagine something struggling in your life and relationships, and just maybe you're concerned. You're not sure you want to go to therapy because you're concerned that your faith may not, yada, yada, yada. Okay. I'm going to challenge you on that and say, I worked in the church for 12 years. So what happened to me was more people called with an issue about their relationships or something like that, and then the church part was secondary. But what I hear you saying is it's primary. Is that right?
I'm getting a lot of referrals where pastors are involved in the referral, and they will not make the referral to someone who does not have that as a component of what they're looking for.
Okay, that's great. But I'm talking about what is your client, when they're looking up you on the web, is that their first or their second thing?
Probably second.
Okay, that's what I'm thinking too. So what I would do is lead with, you know, something about struggling in lives and relationships. It's tough these days. And where can you go? See, I would start with what the problem is, and then I'll go, and where can you go? You know, there's so many places out there that will give you worldly advice that just does not fit with your faith. And you want your faith to be taken very seriously and have it to be a part of the work. Guess what? I want to hear your story. Let's talk.
Okay.
Now, if that doesn't fit for you, then do it the reverse, because I believe in your authentic calling, whatever that is, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Does that feel like we're on target or we're still off?
It does, but it hasn't. The first part hasn't necessarily narrowed down onto particular problems. I mean,
I'm okay.
I thought I was hearing you in the earlier sessions, but.
But see, in these four parts, I'm okay with that. If you want to be more general there, just speak from your heart.
Okay.
Yeah, but speak from your heart in language like relationships or families, or not speak from your heart like DSM diagnoses.
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
Thank you. That was a great question. Thank you. Okay. We lost somebody else that had a question. Sorry about that. Again, if you're on the phone and you have a question, I have time for a couple more. Let's see. Do we have any here in the okay. Somebody says, how do I handle the insurance question? I get a fair amount of inquiries from my online listings, but I don't take insurance. Okay. Yes. Number one, make sure in your online listing, if you don't take insurance, that you don't have anything in there that looks like you would take insurance. All right? So don't put in there about, I take PPOs and I will send you a super bill. Don't do that, okay? That will only get you in trouble. Second, I think you can, we have a script. Amber, can we put the script in the notes here? Actually, I don't want to do that. Here's why. My attorney said not to do that. Okay. Basically, you have to figure out why you don't take insurance. All right? And you have to decide in your own heart why that is. And so for many times, we can say, you know, I use insurance for my medical problems, you know, like my husband had to have an MRI and we were really happy that we had insurance, but I don't take it for therapy. May I tell you why? And then you can talk about the risks as you see them. Underline this part, assuming you aren't on any insurance panel. If you are on insurance panels, this is where my attorney said don't say this, but if you are not on insurance panels, you can say, I think, but check with your attorney because I'm not an attorney. You can say the reason I don't, and then talk about the various reasons. In order to take your insurance, I have to give you a mental health diagnosis, mental disorder diagnosis. And I don't know that I really think of you as having a mental disorder. And I don't treat people based on mental disorders. And if I give you a mental disorder diagnosis, depending on your insurance company, some of them require that I write a report talking all about your mental disorder. And I don't really want to do that. And then they, somebody else, not you and I, get to determine whether they're going to pay for it or not. And then you can go on and you can talk about being self-employed, et cetera, et cetera. And those are the reasons that I don't take it. Now, I understand if you want to use it, and if you want to, feel free to go ahead and find somebody on your panel. And if you don't, we've got some openings here Wednesday at noon or Friday at 3. What do you think? All right? So that's an idea for you on that. Well, all good things must come to an end, they tell me. And I'm going to sign off here in just a moment. Again, remember, you can watch these over and over and over again. I'm going to beg you to take action All right, I'm going to beg you to take action and let us know how you're doing. We've got some upcoming videos coming for you on websites. And so if you've got questions on websites, send them to us so I can answer them in some upcoming videos for you. Again, if you want to get the transcripts and continuing education units for this class, they'll only be available for another 12 days. And you can go to INTLI.com/moreclients. All right, and then Amber will put in the notes the information on our speaking course. All right. Love you guys. Take care. Bye-bye.